Acts chapter number 11, verse 23 tonight. We'll get started. I don't know if we'll get finished. We may. Well, let's just read it in its context. Start reading with verse number 19 with me, please. The Bible said, "Now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen," "traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only." You remember John said it would be to the Jew first, or Paul did, and also the Greek. And then John said he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was upon them," or was with them, "and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." I still believe today the only way a person can be saved is to turn from their sin and turn to the Lord. The Bible word for that is repentance, amen. Faith toward God, or repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, "Then the tidings of those things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch." Now here we go in verse 23. Barnabas is going to Antioch, "who, when he came, and the word of God said here, and had seen the grace of God." If I had a little bit more time tonight, what I was going to do is just get up before I even read the text and ask you if you had a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and somebody asked you, "What does the grace of God look like?" What would you put on that piece of paper? What kind of picture would you draw? Or what would you write down on that piece of paper? I want to preach a while tonight on what the grace of God looks like. Because the Bible said when Barnabas went down to Antioch, that he who had seen the grace of God. And I tell you, God's given me a thought I believe be a blessing to your heart. I pray that it will. And he said he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. In other words, somebody that gets saved and goes on with God, it don't happen by accident. It happens on purpose, with purpose of heart. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." If correctly read, that's verse 19 down through verse 26. Pray with me and pray for me. I'm tired in my body tonight. I'm exhausted. But I do want to share what God's put on my heart tonight. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered tonight. And Lord, I know that on a Wednesday night, people come because they're hungry. People come because they want to be fed. And God, I know tonight, Lord, that the word of God will feed us. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would give me, God, Lord, a mouth. Let me be a mouthpiece to speak the truths that you've burned in my heart. But then, Lord, give us ears to hear tonight what the Spirit of God would say to the church this evening. Lord, I do pray some way, somehow, someone in Bloomingdale would see the grace of God in our lives, in our church, in our families, and Lord would want to taste and see that the Lord is good. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'll minister to those that are hurting, those that are unable now, Lord, to come to church. I pray, God, you'd minister to them. Thank you for these that have gathered. Lord, peradventure there be someone lost. I pray, God, tonight, stir around that heart. Save them, Lord. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let me take a few minutes here tonight and look at this thought. What does the grace of God look like? I want to start tonight, and the Bible said in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40, it said, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." I want to say, first of all tonight, the grace of God looks like Jesus in his life. If you want to see what the grace of God looks like, then you could go through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Go even on into the book of Acts. I was reading there earlier today where the writer said, "This same Jesus whom you see going into heaven shall so come again in like manner." If you want to see what the grace of God looks like, look at Jesus. I thought about this, and you think about his birth. That's the grace of God, that God became flesh. Amen. That he wasn't born of a woman like you and I are, but he was born of the Holy Spirit, the precious seed of heaven. Amen. And I praise God tonight that he was born right so he could live right. Amen. And we can see the grace of God in his life. The word of God said of Jesus, Jesus said, "I do always those things which please the Father." You say, how in the world could a person ever do that? By the grace of God. The Bible said he went about doing good. How in the world could anybody do that? By the grace of God. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I know the word of God said there's none good, no, not one. But I want to say this tonight. That's apart from Jesus. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. When the righteousness of God moves into our heart and into our life, we have the ability to do what's right. Amen. We're commanded to do what's right. And we have, beloved, listen, what we need, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to do what God wants us to do in this walk of life. So when I'm looking for a picture of the grace of God, I want to look at Jesus. I want to look at Jesus when he sees the hungry and he feeds them. I see the grace of God. Amen. I want to look at Jesus when he sees somebody that's lame and he heals them. I see the grace of God. Somebody that can't see, and now they can see. The boy that was blind from his birth, they come along accusing Jesus of being a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. You say, what did he see? He saw the grace of God. Amen. I tell you, every time somebody was converted, they saw the grace of God. Amen. And I believe, listen, I believe the reason Peter wanted to go with him, and the reason Philip wanted to go with him, and the reason John wanted to go with him, and the reason John was willing, listen, down even down in the prison to bear his heart, is, art thou he, or should we look for another? He was just honest. It's because they had seen over and over and over in the life of Jesus the grace of God. I believe if you talk to those disciples, they say, we saw the grace of God when he stepped out on that ship and the waves laid down. He said, peace be still. I believe if you could talk to them, they say, we saw the grace of God when he stepped in that room and said, be not afraid. It is I. Amen. I believe tonight when you look at the life of Jesus, listen, you look over there when Lazarus died. You say, what did you see? You saw the grace of God. By the grace of God, Lazarus come up out of that tomb. Amen. Alive and well. And you know what? By the grace of God, I'm going to come up too. Alive and well. Amen. And I appreciate the grace of God. Well, you could go on and on and on right there. But I was just going to say, what does the grace of God look like? Well, it looks to me like Jesus in his life. That's what the grace of God looks like. Jesus in his life. I'll say this tonight. There's a doctrine being taught that's wrong. And that doctrine is that you and I are saved by imitating the life of Christ. Beloved, that is a false doctrine. That's a lie out of hell. There's not one thing the natural man can do to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will say this tonight. You and I that are saved by the grace of God would do well to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and be as much like him as we possibly can. As a matter of fact, right here in the text, they were first called Christians at Antioch. That was not a name put on them to exalt them. That was a name put on them that was letting everybody know they're just as sorry as that Christ that was walking down here a little while back. Amen. It was put on them for a shame
and for a blight. They didn't put it on themselves. The world stuck that name on them. They were like Jesus. They were like Christ. Let me give you this tonight. I don't want to take too much time, but the thought tonight, number one, what does the grace of God look like? It looks like Jesus in his life. Number two tonight, it looks like Jesus in his death. I read to you a while ago that the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let me tell you something about the grace of God. It never left him. It went with him all the way through his life, and it went with him to Calvary. Let me read you the verse of Scripture, Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus. I just now realized. Glory to God. I didn't pick up on that a while ago. But we see Jesus. You know what they were seeing? The grace of God. We see Jesus, the Word of God said, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I talked to a young man a while ago. He'd be 17 years old Sunday. He's still not saved. Got a real deep voice. And I love him. He's went to this church at times in years gone by. And I tell you what I told him. I said, listen, you and I need to have a birthday lunch. We need to buy something at least cost $17 to celebrate your 17th birthday. You say, preacher, why in the world would you fool with a boy that's 17 years old that's lost? I tell you why. He needs to see the grace of God in somebody's life. I ain't waiting on him to get saved to love on him. I'm going to love on him while he's a sinner, because that's what Christ did for you. That's what Christ did for me. On an old rugged cross, he gave his life. By the grace of God, Brother Gary, tasted death for every man, the Bible said. He don't understand that right now. But my prayer to God is that one day he'll wake up and come to himself like the prodigal son did and realize there's a Father in heaven that loved him enough to give his son to die on an old rugged cross that he might be saved by the grace of God. Well, you quit praying about my body. I'm feeling a little bit better now. Amen. God's given me some strength. I appreciate the Lord. Think about it. You want to see the grace of God? Look at Calvary. You want to see the grace of God? Look at Calvary. Bob, that should have been Sawyer hanging on that cross. That should have been Olivia hanging on that cross. That should have been my four grandsons that were saved this summer hanging on that cross. That should have been this preacher. That should have been you. My friend, listen, it's the grace of God that he tasted death for every man. God gets angry. God gets upset when people try to come up to his heaven apart from the grace of God. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't know about you tonight, but for me it's personal. One time I took a block of wood, and Marnita, you might have been there when I'd done this, honey, I don't know. I took a piece of a 4x4, and I took a 3-pound hammer, and I just had everybody to close their eyes. And I began to drive that spike in that block of wood. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can talk about them Roman soldiers all you want to, but you and I had that hammer in our hands. It was our sin that nailed him to that old rugged cross. And I tell you, it's the grace of God. You want to see a picture of the grace of God? Look at Jesus in his life. Look at Jesus in his death. You'll see a perfect portrait of the grace of God. The Bible said here, the Bible said he was made a little lower than the angels. The one the Bible said God gave him a name that's above every name. The one that the Bible said at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. For a space in time, he was made a little lower than the angels. And listen, there's all kinds of scripture right here. I'll just try to see what the Lord brings back to my memory. But you know, the Bible said he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Wait a minute. What's the rest of that verse? Can somebody quote it? Oh my goodness, I'm getting a little bit mixed up here. I think there's a phrase in there. Look at Corinthians with me quickly. Anybody know where it is? Let's see. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we... No, I'm not getting it right. I'm getting it confused with something else. Does anybody know it? Is it 1 Corinthians or 2nd? Help me. 5:21. Thank you. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know why we're made the righteousness of God? Because the grace of God, he tasted death for you, and he tasted death for me. The Bible said he became sin. The Bible said that God put the lights out when he was hanging on that old rugged cross. Beloved, the world was in darkness. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was separated when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, beloved friend, listen. Someone said this years ago, and sometimes if you don't think about it, it's hard to say, but the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. You think about that tonight, amen. Think about the grace of God. What's it look like? It looks like Jesus in his life, and it looks like Jesus in his death. Let me give you this tonight. Listen, this is really where the rubber meets the road tonight. Bloomingdale's not going to see Jesus in his life. They're not going to get up every morning and read their Bible and see Jesus in his life. Bloomingdale's not going to see Jesus in his death. You say, well, preacher, what's the only hope of Bloomingdale seeing Jesus? Let me tell you something tonight. Listen to me. You can disagree with me if you want to. One old preacher said, you have a right to be wrong. But I'm going to tell you where Bloomingdale's going to see Jesus: in his church. I see the grace of God in Jesus' life. I see the grace of God in Jesus' death. Beloved, listen to me. How many believes the church belongs to him? It don't belong to me. It don't belong to you. He told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church belongs to him. Beloved friend, listen to me tonight. Let me give you some scripture tonight. That's what's going on in Acts chapter 11. Barnabas goes down there to Antioch. And when he came, he saw the grace of God. Look at the next word. Said he was glad. Let me tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. When someone comes in a church and sees the grace of God, they're glad. But if they don't see the grace of God, they're sad. Somebody help me tonight. Barnabas, the Bible said, was a man that was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And had he showed up at Antioch and not seen the grace of God, it would have grieved him in his heart. It would have grieved Barnabas. But Barnabas shows up. He sees the grace of God at work in the lives of God's people. And it cheered him on. It made him glad. It made him so glad he wanted to stay a year. Amen? He wanted to stay and be used of God to build him up. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 8:1, moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. In other words, beloved, listen. The Bible said now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If the grace of God is active in a church, there ought to be some evidence that people can see. There was evidence in Jesus' life that the grace of God was at work. There was evidence in Jesus' death that the grace of God was at work. You could see it. And there ought to be evidence in Jesus' church that the grace of God is at work, that you can see the grace of God in his people, in his church. The Bible said in Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you tonight, this is a wonderful thought. Where can you see the grace of God? You can see it in Jesus' life. You can see it in Jesus' death. And you can see it in Jesus' church. You know, tonight, I'll give you this a little bit later. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given me, this is what Paul said, as a wise master builder, he said, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Beloved, listen, the Bible said, grow in grace and knowledge. The Bible talks about the church being fitly joined together. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If there's any building going on, I'm talking about a spiritual building now. It's by the grace of God. Man can't do that. God has to do that. He said, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Listen, but the grace of God, which was with me. So you could see the grace of God in the man of God's life. You could see the grace of God in the church's life, in the Lord Jesus' church, the church that he purchased with his own blood. Let me give you this thought tonight. You say, preacher, what's the grace of God look like in Jesus' church? It looks like Jesus in his church. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Let me just say this tonight. I'm not saying it in a critical manner, but that's as far as a lot of God's people get. Listen, God's not done with us when he saves us. He's just getting started. Amen? And it's sad tonight. Listen, it's sad tonight. Listen to me carefully. I'm not fussing at anyone, but it's sad tonight that churches can be full on Sunday morning and half full on Sunday night and a quarter full on Wednesday night. God wants the world to see the grace of God. And people wonder why they don't grow. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Sometimes it is a feeding problem. But it's always amazed me. Listen, I've been in the ministry now over 30 years, and you're not going to pastor or preach for 30 years without hearing some griping. Somebody say amen. Somebody over there say, I just ain't getting nothing out of that. Somebody over there saying, boy, oh boy. Well, you know, it might not be a food problem. It might be an appetite problem. Amen. I mean, you can set Sawyer down to some good food, but if he just finished with 20 suckers, he probably ain't going to eat it. He's been eating junk. So he don't want the good stuff. I'm just saying tonight, the Apostle Paul said you can see the grace of God in Jesus' church. That's what he's talking about. This grace that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. That's one of the reasons I don't believe that Jesus selected a few for heaven and the rest go to hell. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? I believe that and I die believing that. Amen. That God so loved the world, every one of them, that his Son, he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But that's just the beginning. Now watch it. The grace of God saves us. But then it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get saved and never, 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 never have a taste for ungodliness again or worldly lust? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It would be wonderful. But it don't work that way. That's why the man of God is telling Titus, amen, listen, the grace of God that saved you now has got to come along and teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And to live, what's it say here? And we should live soberly and righteously and godly when we get to heaven. I ain't had no trouble with worldly lust when I get to heaven. Somebody say amen. But in this present world, I'm going to tell you something tonight. When verses like this are absent in the church, the world around is not seeing the grace of God. in Jesus' church. Amen. Maybe this ain't the time. Maybe it is. It's coming to my mind. But that's why we ought to dress modestly. Say amen. That's why women ought to look like women. Men ought to look like men. Amen. If I come in here in a dress, you throw me out of here. I hope. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. How many believes that God's people ought to be a peculiar people? That's not talking about being a bunch of oddballs. That's talking about loving Jesus so much that you would never want to be a stumbling block to somebody else along the way. You want God to use our church and to use our families and use our life to be a stepping stone for someone, not a stumbling block. The Bible said here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. John said it like this over in 1 John chapter number 3, I believe. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I believe tonight what John's concerned about is others seeing the grace of God. Let me give you this tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible said, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. How many believes tonight that if we're not standing in the grace of God, we're not standing? We're falling tonight if we're not standing in the grace of God. Now I'll give you a couple thoughts tonight quickly, and we'll go home. Y'all will go home. I'm going to walk home. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 21. Y'all know what Galatians is addressing. It's addressing a bunch of Judaizers that's come into the church at Galatia, trying to pull the people away from by grace through faith and bring them back under the Jewish law and trying to mix and trying to mingle. But eventually what they want really is just to go back, just like Israel did when they came out of Egypt. What'd you do, Moses? Bring us out here to die? We was better off back over there with the onions. They done forgot about the straw, didn't they? They done forgot about the brick. They done forgot about the burden and the way they was crying out to God. And God heard their cry, the Word of God said. But listen to what the Bible's teaching us here. Galatians 2:21, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been frustrated? Nod your little head up and down. I said, have you ever been frustrated? I'm looking at my son-in-law because he was trying to find a key today. I've just might have been a fly on the wall. Well, he couldn't find the key. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall because I was the one that hid the key. Amen. My Lord, stop asking if he still loves me. Amen. Amen. I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'll give you four things quickly tonight. Number one, when we refuse the faith that comes out of this old black book, this old King James Bible, when we refuse the faith, what God teaches us the way of salvation, we frustrate the grace of God. I wonder tonight how many people in the world there are that have just got it all mingled up and all mixed up, and it frustrates the grace of God, because all God wants us to do is come and say, Lord, I can't. I'm the sinner. You're the Savior. Would you save me? I'll say this. I started saying it probably the last 4 or 5 years I was in prison. Wish I'd been saying it all my ministry. The person will never get saved till they get sick of sin. The person don't get saved wanting to just live on in their sin. No, no, no. It never has worked that way, and it never will. They get sick of it. They get sick of the guilt. They get tired of it. They get tired of the shame. and they realize that God's got their number. I'm telling you, the night I got saved, my wife didn't know all about me, but when the Lord got through pulling the covers off my life, he knew all about me. That woman at the well, you know, you remember, come see a man that told me all things ever which I did. Is not this the Christ? You remember that? You reckon he told her all things? I don't think he did. I just think he told her enough that she knew that he knew the rest of the story. We can't hide anything from him. The Bible said all things are naked and open to him to whom we have to do. When you get saved tonight, the Bible way of faith, here comes conviction. When a person responds correctly to that conviction, swallows their pride, quits arguing with God, says, God, you're right, I'm wrong, that person's fixing to get saved. How many believes that tonight? No excuses. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so tonight, when we refuse the faith, the grace of God is frustrated. Let me give you this tonight. When we refuse to forgive, everybody look at me tonight. When we refuse to forgive, the grace of God is frustrated. He said, preacher, where'd you get that? Let me give you a couple verses real quickly. How many remembers over there when Paul, the Bible said in Acts 15:40, he chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God? Do you remember that? But there was something before that. And that is Acts chapter 15, verse 39. And the Bible said, and the contention was so great, so sharp between them, and they departed asunder, one from the other. Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Do you remember that? But Paul thought it not good to take him when he departed from Pamphylia, went not with them to the work. The contention was sharp. Paul chose Silas. You say, preacher, what happened in Paul's life? I'll tell you what happened. Paul forgave him. Later on, if you go over there, beloved, listen to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 11. Paul's getting ready to leave this world. He said, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me and the ministry. You know what it proves to me? Even the men of God got some things to learn along the way. I've been saying this for years, Brother Nathan. If we think we're going to get to heaven and find out we've been right about everything, we're fools. God even has to straighten out the man of God once in a while. And what God is saying here, beloved, listen, when we refuse to forgive, we're frustrating the grace of God. I'm going up the road meditating on this message, Brother Steve. Maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't share this, but it's in my heart and I'm going to share it. I believe God can use it for an illustration. I don't know when it was. Was it Sunday? Might have been Sunday. How many, might have been Sunday morning. Was it Sunday morning? I believe it was Sunday morning because I believe Aaron was sitting right there. Y'all remember that? I made a statement, something like this. I said, the Lord's got his hand on Brother Aaron. How many remembers me saying that? I said, I don't know how long he'll be with us. I said, I believe God's got something and the day will come when he'll have to leave us. And then I mentioned Brother Kevin. How many remembers that back there? Listen, I'm not talking to you about anything that any man or woman said anything to me about. I was going to the funeral home tonight when the Spirit of God whispered to my heart about this. I said, Brother Kevin, God's got his hand on Brother Kevin. How many remembers me saying that? How many remembers me saying, Brother Colder, he wasn't here, he's down at the Rock of Ages conference. How many remember me saying, Brother Colder, God's got his hand on Brother Colder? How many remember me saying that about anybody else? I didn't, did I? I just got off the phone with Brother Steve. I was on my way to the funeral home. And called Brother Steve and asked him if he'd open the service tonight. That man right over there is a gentleman. That man over there probably don't know what I'm about to say. Maybe he's done figured it out. But God's got his hand on Brother Steve. But I didn't call his name Sunday morning. You weren't here, were you, Brother Steve? You were here? Not when I was preaching. You was at the Salvation Army. So if I hadn't have told you, you wouldn't even knowed. But your wife was here. She didn't say a word. But I'm going to tell you something. Churches has been blown plumb out of the water over less. Because a preacher mentioned this one or mentioned that one, didn't mention this one or didn't mention that. Am I telling the truth tonight? You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. If this community is going to see the grace of God in this church, we have to learn to forgive one another. Preacher ain't always going to get it right. You ain't always going to get it right. But thank God we have a Savior that'll always make it right. If we'll just look to Him tonight. So when we won't forgive one another, Brother Steve, I didn't mean nothing by that. I was just preaching. And if you'd have been sitting there, maybe I'd have looked at you and said, but Colter wasn't here either. So I ain't got no excuse. It's dangerous sometimes to start calling names. Say amen. I had a woman in a church one time, first church I pastored. Boy, she got ill with me. She said, you never call my husband's name when you're preaching. I shouldn't call anybody. I ought to shut up and stop it. That's what I ought to do. But it's just the way I've always been. And I said to her, I said, honey, maybe if your husband, maybe I shouldn't have said it. You know where I'm going, don't you, Houston? Maybe that shovel handle fit your husband's hands. We won't go into all that. Let me just say tonight, if we refuse to forgive, the grace of God is frustrated. You got the story in the Bible, and I'm trying to shut up. I got two more things real quickly. You remember the man was forgiven a great debt. I can't remember what it amounted to. And then somebody owed him a little debt. This man's forgiven a great debt. He turns around and gets a man by the throat that owes him a little debt. The point is this tonight. If you've been to Calvary, you've been forgiven a great debt. I've been forgiven a great debt. And we have absolutely no right to refuse to forgive somebody else. No right. I don't care who you are. I don't care what somebody done to you. Look what they did to our Savior. Somebody said this. Said, preacher, if they'd asked me, I'd forgive them. You're not going very far for the Lord like that. I'll tell you tonight, I wouldn't be standing in a pulpit if I hadn't learned a long time ago to forgive folks whether they ask or not. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, whom I forgave anything in the person of Christ, forgave I it. How can you pray for somebody you haven't forgiven? You say, preacher, they done. Well, you done put them over in the enemy category. What did Jesus say to do for your enemy? By the way, let me say this. If they're your brother, they're not your enemy. The enemy's standing behind the scenes laughing his head off. The enemy's the old devil. Amen? How many believes it? Barnabas, when he got down there to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. How many believes it looks like Jesus in his life? Looks like Jesus in his death, and it looks like Jesus in his church. I'd like to have about a week to preach the rest of this. Amen. Let me give them to you real quick. When we refuse the faith, we frustrate the grace of God. When we refuse to forgive, we frustrate the grace of God. When we refuse to follow, we frustrate the grace of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Listen, the Bible never does talk about following somebody blindly. Here's what the Bible does say. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. How many believes that's scriptural? Amen. You say, how in the world can you tell if anybody's following Christ? This book. This is the final authority. This pulpit is not the final authority. The Pope is not the final authority. This book is the final authority, the Word of the living God. And then I give you this tonight, when we're not fruitful, the grace of God is frustrated. Listen what the Bible said here in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible said, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. How many believes God wants his people to be a fruitful people? You remember, I think it's John chapter 15, Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, he gives stages of fruit. He said there was no fruit with some. He said there was fruit. He said there was more fruit. And then he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Personally, and I believe I got scripture to back this up, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, and meekness, and faith, and goodness, and temperance. I mean, I got them in the right order. Against such there is no law. But I believe the fruit of the Spirit is those things. But I believe the fruit of the Christian is another Christian. Somebody ought to be seeing the grace of God in your life and in my life. In our church tonight, somebody ought to be seeing. I got text messages today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank the church for what you've done for our family. Preacher can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. But all of us working together, we can get the job done. And I believe somebody can see the grace of God. How many's glad you come tonight?